The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
How many of you are thankful for what God is doing? How many of you are aware that it was not scripted, was not planned? How many of you are aware to leaders that is really thrilling? You know, when it is in the desire of our hearts to see the Spirit of God be who He said He is in the Word, then times like this where all of a sudden we just forget about the writing on the wall, we forget about the plan, we forget about what the bulletin says is going to take place, and we just follow the river of the flow of the Spirit of God, things begin to happen. And one of the most exciting things, at least for me, after doing church for 30-some years, is it's a lot more interesting. Church is more fun. Even the kids recognize that it's more fun. But more than that, there is something that is taking place that we need to be aware of. You feel free to play, but don't feel like you have to, because I can't imagine how you do that. There is a shift that is taking place, and we've been proclaiming it here for a long time, but we saw it demonstrated this morning very clearly. And the shift that is taking place is that the work of the ministry is being transferred from the head to the body. Yes. It's being transferred. See, the day of hero worship in the church is over. And I'm not saying that it was bad when we had it, because that's what God was doing. And we needed men and women of God who led and did stuff. And we still need men and women of God who lead and do stuff. But the reality is that the work of the ministry is transferring from the head, from those in leadership, to the body. Every person that was up here ministering today ministered first in word, then in deed, were whomsoever's. I mean, we know their name and we trust them, and they're trustworthy men and women of God. But the reality is, their name wasn't in the bulletin. And we didn't plan on releasing them. But God did. And in a way, we did plan on releasing them, because it's important. I want you to turn with me to the text that the Lord has been stirring within me for a couple of weeks. One of the privileges of preaching from time to time instead of every week is the Lord can begin to download a word to you that you can let ruminate and simmer in the stew of your life for weeks. And so there is the ability to meditate and to hold things loosely and let watch God confirm. And last week when Luke got up and prophesied, he confirmed the word that the Lord had been putting in me. And for those of you who weren't here or don't remember, last week Luke got up and prophesied. And basically Jesus was saying, I'm inside of you and I want out. And that is a reality. And that's what we saw take place here today. Turn with me to the book of Colossians. And verse 1. Book of Colossians in verse 1, verse 24 through 29. Yeah. I'm sorry, chapter 1. What did I say? Okay, sorry. I'm not fully with it. I was having too much fun. Verse 24, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is his church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from which God has given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to the saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. We're talking this morning about a mystery, and it is a mystery that is not foreign to us, but yet so often eludes us. And so I believe that the Lord demonstrated it for us here this morning before the preaching of the word instead of after. To which I say, thank you, Jesus. And that is the mystery of Christ in you. We talked this morning about the glory, and there's a lot of talk in this day about the glory, so much so that we put it on the wall. And the reality is that there is a hunger within the body of Christ for the coming of the glory of God, for the coming of the presence of God. What is the glory of God? It is the presence of God on steroids. It is the presence of God with some oomph behind it. It is the presence of God. You know, it says in Isaiah, who has believed our report and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The glory of the God is the arm of the Lord being revealed. It is God showing his muscle in a meeting, in a place, wherever it is. And there is a hunger within you, within me, to see the glory of God, to see the works of the ministry take place. But the reality is, the hope of that glory is this: Christ in you. The only hope for that glory, the outward glory, to come from wherever it comes from, is to come into a revelation of the mystery, and that is Christ is in you, and the glory of God is in you, and the kingdom of God is in you, and revival is in you, and heaven is in you, and everything that God is or will ever be is already present and resident within us. The Bible says that God takes us from glory to glory to glory, but the reality is that you cannot move from one glory to another glory till you've fully laid hold of the glory we're already in. See, how do people minister like they did this? By the way, they were not praying, they were ministering. One of the distinctions that I believe God wants to bring to us is there is a huge difference between a prayer line and a ministry line. There is a huge difference between a ministry at the altar, which is prayer, which is asking for God to do it, rather than recognizing that the answer is already resident within me. So I do not pray and ask God to do it, but I minister and administer and steward, as we just read, that which is within me, Christ. See, the people that ministered here up here this morning, for the most part, were not praying, they were ministering. They were giving out of the declaration of the word that they had declared. By the way, we minister Christ, we minister the impartation, we minister revelation two ways: the laying on of hands and the spoken word. Noise. Sometimes just laughter. Do you know that laughter can minister? Do you know that it's not about words? You know that there is a joy unspeakable? but the release of breath, noise, releases the Christ that was within. The laying on of hands releases the Christ that is within. Sir, I don't know you, but God does. Can I just share with you what he was showing me earlier? I just looked back during worship from time to time, and when I did, I saw you, and I heard the Lord say this. Number one, he loves you, and he's very aware of you, and his hand is on you in a heavy way. But I sense like you're in the valley of indecision. There's like this, and I don't know what it is, but there's like this time and this season of sorting some things out. And the Lord just comes to you this morning and he says, I'm going to give you the wisdom that you need. And the place and the way that you ought to go is the way of peace. And he's going to give you a real peace about the way that you go. That seems like there is an opportunity that is better and bigger, but doesn't have the peace of God attached with it. And I have not a clue what I'm talking about. So I hope you do. But I want to encourage you in that. And I want to encourage you to follow the road of peace. And a good confirmation for that peace will come from right there. Okay? Bless you. See, the reality is something. There is reality. And the reality is Christ in me, Christ in you is the hope of glory. It is the hope of this that we're searching for. If I have not yet come to a settledness in myself, that God is in me. We heard this morning prophetically about the accuser of the brethren who hinders us from pressing into and stepping into the fullness of all that God has for us. See, the glory of God is you. You are an expression of the glory of God. Those who ministered up here this morning were an expression of the glory of God, and they were just spilling it out and releasing it. The excellency of his glory rests on us. Now we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and that drives us nuts. Because we assume that because we have this treasure in earthen vessels, there's no way that that treasure is really the treasure, but it really is the treasure, because the treasure doesn't have as much trouble with our earthen vessel as we do. God does not have as much trouble with your weakness as you do. God does not have as much trouble. Oh, this is going to ruffle some feathers. God does not have as much trouble with your sin as you do. And that doesn't mean he gives room for it, but he's made provision for it. And the provision for it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when the adversary comes and wars against you and hinders me, just let it go, sister. Because you're going to minister it in a minute. I want you, not now, but in a bit, I want you to share the vision you had during worship. Please. I'm not telling her what to do. I'm asking her. But sometimes I say things really straight, and people who don't know us would think, who does he think he is? I'm her husband who loves her with a passion, and she's my very best friend. And so if I talk straight to her, she knows my heart. She just, yeah, she's, Dave says she just laughs at you. That's true. But see, the ability to silence that voice that comes at us and wants to hinder us from stepping in and move from the glory I'm in to the glory where I'm going, the ability to stand against that is the residing Jesus on the inside. See, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Greater is the one that lives inside of me than he that is in the world. That's written in 1 John, and it is written in the context of the Antichrist, of that which wars against the Christ. Yes. That which wants to take the place of the Christ. There is a glory of God and there is a glory of man, and there is a big difference. But it's easier to step into the glory of man than there is the glory of God, because there's a lot less opposition. And the Lord wants us to understand this morning that what he was doing was putting his glory on display, and he wanted to do it. And please understand my phraseology, but he wanted to do it through the least of these. Because in our mentality that they, whoever they are that preach, and they that have titles, are somehow more significant in the body of Christ than the others. So Kevin's attendant brings him up here to get ministry, and she gets ministry, and all of a sudden she's stuck in the middle with you. She's stuck in the middle. I watched it happen, so I just stepped in and fixed it. But the reality is, she was stuck in the middle between being on the job, doing her duty as his attendant, and being a daughter of God who's getting whacked by her father, and she is stuck. And so she's taking him back to, not his seat, he has that with him, but she's taking him back to his place. And I just stopped her and said, "You're off duty. I'll take care of him. You go up," because all she did is help Gladys up. That'll teach you. All she did is Gladys was getting up. She all of a sudden it's like, whoa, what is that? Where'd that come from? We've got to understand, yes, there is something of the atmospheric glory of God, but I tell you what, much more precious than that is the glory that is within. Because here's the deal. The atmospheric glory of God, along with the accompanying music and that awesome bass player and that awesome guitar player and those awesome singers and that awesome keyboardist and that awesome drummer boy, that glory cannot go with me. It can't come with me to my work tomorrow. But guess what? The resident Jesus that's living within me can come with me. And so the same glory that I walked in this morning, I can walk in tomorrow, because the presence of God and the life of God and the hope of glory, especially out there, is Christ in me. Yes. And Christ in you. The hope for the glory to visit your office space, to visit your school, to visit where you work, whatever it is, the hope of that, let it go, does not resonate or is not resident. I know what I'm saying. Don't look at me funny. It does not resonate in a worship team. See, we got to get back to the purity of worship, only a little piece of which is musical. There is a worship, and people like me are really thankful for this. Luke knows where I'm going. There is a worship that has absolutely nothing to do with music. And it's just as precious to God. There is a worship that has nothing to do with the ability to clap on time. There is a worship that has nothing with the ability to sing a song that doesn't freak people out. There is a worship that is an attitude of the heart. There is a worship that is a thankfulness for God. There is a worship that you can engage in without muttering a word and letting a flow go between you and your Father as you walk, as you work. I remember the first time I ever discovered this. I was shingling a roof in St. Paul. And I was just worshiping God while I shingled. I shingled enough that I can do that without thinking much. So I'm in this all of a sudden, and I realize, oh my goodness, this is what it means to be in the Spirit. This is what it means to be Spirit to Spirit. This is what it means. This is what Jesus meant. It's how he lived, I believe. Just a connection with God. But all of a sudden, I realized that it wasn't. See, I had the mentality, and we tend to have the mentality, that our worship is this way. And it is to a degree, but guess what? The worship is also this way. He lives within me. You know, there's a scripture of the Old Testament that says the heavens are of brass. But that's not relevant anymore. Because he blew a hole in the heavens. And he did what he said he would do. And the Father and the Son came and take residence by the power of the Holy Spirit. Be ye filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Why? So I can act drunk? No. But it might take you there. But always recognize the filling of the Holy Spirit brings Jesus and brings the Father. That is what he promised it would do. It's good that I go, and when I go, I will send the helper or the comforter. And when he comes, he will take that which is mine and he will make it known to you. He will not speak of his own, but he'll speak what he hears the Father say. Can I say something? Probably going to, right? We who are charismatics, we who understand the preciousness of the Holy Spirit must be careful that we do not lose sight of the fact that his whole mission is to bring the Father and the Son. And we might find ourselves saying, well, that's not fair. Yes, it is. They're one. Sometimes I think we feel like if we give Jesus too much attention, the Father will get upset or the Spirit will get upset, and that's silly. It pleased God that in the Son all fullness. That means all in the Greek. All fullness should dwell. He is the fullness of the Godhead. Listen to this now. I just got it. He is the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. He was the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. The Word was with us and dwelt among us, but he's no longer here in that body. He's here in this body. He's here in the corporate body. And he is the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. And what needs to happen and what is happening is the body of Christ is stepping into her place, into the glory that is rightfully hers, and there's a greater glory yet to come that allows the whomsoevers to be ministers of the gospel and of the glory. Don't fight it. You're squelching the glory. Do you realize, Marcy had this revelation couple weeks ago when we left here. Do you realize that when you laugh, it's not about you? Do you realize that when you laugh, you are giving out something? In fact, I personally believe you can laugh a whole sermon. Because there is a release of something. Now, for some, it brings an indignation. I'm not laughing. There's no way in hell I'm going to laugh. No, you probably won't. What? There you go. See? Exactly. See, and here's the thing that we don't understand about joy. We think, or we at least tend to think, that it's like happiness and it's got to come from out there. No, 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 no. Joy comes from in here. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not even my fruit. See, you don't impress me when you laugh. Because it's not you. Because it's not you, it's God. It's not your fruit. It's the fruit of the capital S, Holy Spirit. It's like the gifts. The gifts are of the Holy Spirit, capital S. In fact, the reality to allowing the fruit of the Spirit to work in our lives is to accept the fact that He lives inside of me and He can do a better job of living my life than I do. And if I just recognize that I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, and now the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me and did what He said He would do and came and took up residency with inside of me, and He lives inside of me now. He lives in here. And He loves to get out. And there's a release of the Christ to others. Now, you might be here this morning and you might not think anything is funny. And you might not understand why people are laughing. And here's what begins to happen. The adversary begins to whisper in your ear that there's something wrong with you if you're not laughing. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. That's just the other side of the coin. That's the same. See, it does. You're damned if you do and damned if you don't. Either way, the condemner will come and condemn you. I know I shouldn't say that. But that's the language of hell. That's the language of the bad place. Besides, Jesus used that word. But see, there is a warfare that comes against you, and it doesn't matter what you do. You're either laughing too much or you're not laughing enough. But either way, the liar is a liar because he's not, what has he got to do with it? It's between you and your Father. It's relational. This way, yes, but also right here. And what I believe the Lord wants to impart to us this morning is just an awareness of the reality of how close God is and how close the glory is already. Now, does that take away from the hungering and the thirsting for the glory that is atmospheric in nature? No. But on any given occasion that I hungered and thirsted for the glory and I did not see it like I hoped I would see it, there is a inner confidence in me, emphasis on the word inner, because there is a Christ carrying the glory of God that resonates within me and resides within me. And the hope for me And the hope for glory is that residing and presiding Christ. He's within me and He's within you. And this is a foundational ministry for revival. So those who came up to minister this morning, all of a sudden, those whose name wasn't in the bulletin, mine was. I'm just saying. But those little people, whose name was not in the bulletin and may never be, I'm just saying. Where did they get that anointing? Where did they get that boldness? Where did they get the ability to step up unannounced and minister? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in them, the hope of glory. Now there is a mixture of that which is atmospheric. There is a mixture of that which comes by worship. Wasn't that an awesome worship time? How many of you appreciate our worship team? Thank God for music. Thank God for a worship. Thank you. Thank God for a corporate worship that brings a corporate anointing and brings a corporate glory. But the reality, any of those that stood up here to minister, including you, need to know that we can step into that without the music. And I know many of them, some of them do. But see, that is the secret to the body of Christ coming into the place to where she, the fullness of the Godhead, is resting upon her and within her. Is an awareness that outside circumstances. See, how was it that Paul and Silas are in a stinky prison with stinky rats with steel chains on? How is it that they could praise God and worship God? This revelation right here. Christ, Paul speaking, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And so those might be here this morning who wrestle with depression, there is one greater in you who can confront that. One of the things I'm so thankful for in this day as it relates to deliverance and setting captives free is God has brought a shift to where even in there, He's done away with the superstar. He's done away with the man of God or the woman of God who just commands demons to get out. And there's still a time for that. But the reality is what He has done is He has involved the person being setting free in allowing the Christ in them to cooperate with ministry and to hear from God about what's going on and even to proclaim with their own mouth their own deliverance and their own setting free. Why? Because there's a big shift going on. And there is a transference from the head to the body in every way. And that doesn't mean we don't need one another to get free and stay free. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that we need to recognize we have a big part in our own spiritual health. And the Christ in me, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And the Christ in me fights for me and contends for me. But sometimes I need to give him voice. Sometimes I just need to lay hands on myself. And so do you. It's a mystery because the reality is he's here and yet he's coming. What is this? We're awaiting his return and yet he's very here. And he'll be here long before he gets here. In fact, the evidence that he is coming is that he's here. You understand? Isn't that weird? But see, we're comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. So there is the reality of the Christ in you and in me, and yet there's the reality of the coming King. And in between there is the reality of a glory and visitations of glory and habitations of glory. Thank you, Jesus. But I want to suggest that the mystery and the secret and the stewardship, the thing that we must steward, is the Christ in us on a daily basis in order to experience those times and seasons of atmospheric glory. How many of you, you can or can't raise your hand, it doesn't really matter. You don't get any extra points either way. But how many of you could sense the awesomeness of God's presence here this morning? Can you share that vision you had? You want to sit? No, actually, you can't. Walk with me.
Okay. You talk about the you talk about the vision I shared with you during worship.
Yes, yeah. About the spring.
Okay.
That was a good word.
When we were worshiping, I just felt like, you know, we've been having trouble with spring coming forth, and I just felt like I just felt like the Lord gave me a glimpse under the ground, and there was just a rumbling and a shaking under the ground, and I just felt like the word pregnant came out in prayer today, and I'm telling you, the ground is just pregnant with spring. We don't see it, and I say this as a word of encouragement to those that are feel like they're struggling with what's going on in your life right now. But I'm telling you, new life is coming forth. New life is breaking forth. I declare that in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
New life is coming forth in Jesus' name. It's coming. It's coming. Just like Bob said, how can it be here and how can it be coming? Well, I'm telling you, it's here and it's coming.
Yeah. Just pray it and pronounce it. Release it. Yeah.
In Jesus' name, I declare that spring is here.
Yeah.
Spring is here and it's coming. And it's coming. We may not see the fullness, but it is here and it is coming in greater fullness. I declare that in Jesus' name to each one. Spring is here and it's coming. The fullness is coming. I declare that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Dave, back to you.
These don't fit me, Brother Bob. You know, Marcy, I wonder if you'd do one more thing, please. Would you just proclaim an anointing of joy upon those that are in that place of heaviness and darkness, and where joy won't make sense in the natural, but in the spiritual, it makes all the sense in the world. Would you please? Amen. Carrie, whatever her name is, Marcy has been really... Marcy has really been walking in an incredible joy. If you just hang around her long enough, it's infectious. And I really believe there is something about the joy of the Lord being our strength. That joy that breaks depression, that breaks the lie of the enemy. The enemy doesn't have joy. That's one thing he cannot duplicate. He can duplicate a lot of other silly stuff, but he cannot duplicate a joy that sets you free in the inner man. And I'm going to sit down so I can receive this.
I declare joy in Jesus' name. We declare joy over those that are struggling with depression. We say no more in Jesus' name. I declare joy, 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 joy in the midst. Joy, 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 joy. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Oh. I just want to encourage you. You know, I feel like the Lord has been encouraging me in the fact that, you know, just as we receive healing as far as in the physical, and I testify of that. The Lord healed my back several years ago. I was struggling with back issues, and we were just in a worship service, and I put my hands up and felt like the Lord said, you know, a word came forth, and I just and that the Lord was going to heal, and I received the healing and faith as I always had, and nothing major changed. But on the way home, I just kept, because I mean, people that have back problems, I'm sure know what I'm talking about, but I just kept going like this, just kind of, you know, like that, almost a little bit still. Just apprehensive, but I felt like the Lord says your body, your mind has got to catch up with your body. I've healed your body. And I want to encourage those, when we're talking about joy, I want to encourage you that God released something this morning. Now, Bob said, you know, that it's our place. We have to do what we can do. And then the same way with any kind of healing that we receive, I want you, when we go out of here and it becomes Monday morning, we need to speak that what the Lord has done today, he does not take back his gift. And you need to be a declarer yourselves in saying, and you may not feel like it, but you need to say, I have received whatever it is, if it's joy or healing or deliverance or freedom in Jesus' name, and I'm going to stand in that. We need to be proclaimers ourselves in the fact that what we've received, because I've had just three times that little tinge has wanted to come back, and I have just instantaneously said, no, God has healed me. I'm healed in Jesus' name, and it left just like that. In Jesus' name. So I want to encourage you to stand in that. God has released something, and he's going to continue to release something as we come together, because it's his promise. He is here. He's in the midst of us. He's throughout this building. He's everywhere. So I just want to encourage you in that. Don't let the enemy take back the ground the Lord has given you in Jesus' name. And I believe if you will continue to stand, it's another thing that is so in my heart. I believe that as you make that choice, there's going to be such a grace poured out upon you to continue to make that choice to stand every day, because God is going to honor that choice that you make. We all have choices. And we make that choice whether we're going to yield our lives to God every day. And I believe God is going to give you that grace to stand in that choice every day. Sometimes it's moment by moment, but take it for whatever it is. God's going to do it. I believe that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.